So let's have a look. I have my notes here, but I don't know if I'm even going to use notes. We'll just have to see how the Lord leads this morning. I feel it in my spirit, you know. It's like in here. So, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord, my strength. 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 The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. And I love you, Lord, my strength. I love you, Lord, my strength, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord, who is worthy of praise. I call to the Lord, who is worthy of praise. I call to the Lord, who is worthy of praise. And I've been saved from my enemies. And I've been saved from my enemies. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on.
Whoa.
I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation, the strength. When I read that, I saw like this rhinoceros with this huge horn, and it's like he was bulldozing through the situations of my life. He was bulldozing down those big walls that stand in front of us. He's like got that horn, and he brings salvation to us. He brings victory to us because he is the horn of our salvation, the strength, that strong point. My salvation, my stronghold. He is the hold of my life that never gives up. I call to the Lord, who is worthy of praise. And I have been saved from my enemies. I call to the Lord and I am saved from my enemies. I call to the Lord and I am saved. I'm going to go through it bit by bit. So this is like David's declaration and his adoration of God. So he's reminding himself of who God is in his life. He's reminding himself and he's saying, you know, God, you're my rock, you're my fortress, you're my shield, you're my stronghold. You're my horn of my salvation. In you, I've no fear of my enemies because I know that I am saved from my enemies because of the history that we have together, because of the experience that we have together, because of the life journey that I've had with you. Lord, I know that you are my deliverer, that I have a safe place with you, that you're my shield around me. From the darkness, from the presence of my enemies. And then he goes into this place of the battle's reality. And it's like this spiritual battle, but also David's reality. So it says here in verse 4, the cords of death entangle me, the torrents of destruction overwhelm me, the cords of the grave coiled round about me, and the snares of death confronted me. Four things here that he was facing. Cords of death. Two things with death, cords and snares. The enemy wants to wrap cords around you that will bring death to your spiritual life. The enemy wants to put snares in front of you that will bring death to your spiritual life. And the Lord is saying to you today, remind yourself of who I am. Remind yourself that I am your shield, that I am your fortress, that I am your stronghold, that I am your safe place. For when these cords come, you need to know who I am and who you are in me.
Yeah.
Cords of death and snares. The devil is sneaky. He never comes to you face to face. He never ever comes and says, hello, I'm Satan. I'm here to take you out. He comes in with the cords. He comes in with these little, you know, Gulliver couldn't have been taken down with one cord around his ankle. But all the little people together threw their lassos and their ropes around him and they brought the giant down. And that's what the enemy does to us. He comes in with these little things, these little cords, these little snares, these little lies. And he eventually, if we are not aware, if we don't remind ourselves of who we are and remind him of who we are and praise God and adore God and stay in that place of the shield, stay in that place of the fortress, those cords will wrap around us and we will be pulled down. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. Torrents. There's times, you know, when you look out at the ocean and you see these huge torrential waves and this mass torrential rain, and you think, how could anyone survive in that kind of a climate? How could anyone survive? But sometimes when we're in life, we feel like we are out in those waves and we feel like all that is around us is this torrential rain and we cannot see land. And this is where David was. He was in this place where he couldn't see land. It says, the cords of the grave coiled round me. This man was completely, completely broken. He was a broken man. He felt that he was lost. He felt that he was about to die. He felt that he'd lost his hope in this place of despair. And in verse 6, he said, in my distress, I called to the Lord. In my distress. David was in a place of absolute desperation. The grave was in front of him. The snares of death were entangling around him. The cords of death were wrapping around him, stripping him of hope, stripping him of the ability to see life outside of the situation. And what did he do? He called out. He got desperate. He got desperate. And it says, in my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God to help me. You know, in the situation we're in the world today, the world is in distress. The world is in a place of desperation. And what do we do in this place of desperation as the church? What do? We have a choice. We can stay in this place of, oh, the cords of death are snaring around me. Oh, the snares are all about me. I'm going to get sick, or I'm going to fail economically, or I'm going to like lose my business and all these things. Seriously, I'm going to lose my home if this continues. Honestly, we can look at the news. We can mutter with each other and we can sit in a negative pity party forever and ever. And what happens? Those cords will wrap around you. Those cords will wrap around you. Those snares will snap at your legs and take you out.
Yeah.
If we sit and we continually look at the negativity of the news and all we do is bring our distress to one another, it will never change. Our situation will never change if all we do is bring our distress to one another and bring our situation to one another. David had the answer. He said, in my distress, I call to the Lord.
Yeah.
He called to the Lord. He turned his gaze upward. He didn't look around him. He turned his gaze upward. He was well aware of what was on around him. He was so aware of what was going on around him. But in his distress, he cried. He cried. He was broken. He was broken. And he was a man that was a king, and he won victories, and he slayed Goliath, yeah. And yet here he was, stuck in this place where the grave was calling him. And what did he do? He cried to the Lord. This great man, this great king, cried and wept before the Lord. God, I have no one but you. Lord, you are my shield. You are my fortress. You are my only hope. You are my only hope. And then what happened? Oh, my days. What happened? Woo! Verse 6, second half. From his temple, he heard my voice. Who heard his voice? God heard his voice.
Yeah,
God heard his voice. My cry came before him into his ears. Into his ears. We need to not burden other people with our, well, it's good to have people to talk to and offload to and pray with. That's really important. Really, really important. But you know what? If the only ears that get my whinge and my problems are Andy's.
Yeah, I'm leaning in.
He can only do so much in the natural. But God, when we turn our gaze to God and we come into his temple and our cry comes before his ears. When my children cried to me or were in distress, I ran to them. I ran to them, and I'm a natural mom, you know. God is like the king of all. He's the father of fathers. And he ran. He was like, oh my gosh, what's that I'm hearing? One of my children is in distress. One of my children are crying to me. What are they saying? What are they saying? Oh my gosh, they're trapped. They're surrounded. The enemy's going to take them out. The grave is calling at them. They're bound and held and hopeless. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. Into his ears. I love that. It's so personal. God is so personal with us. And then look what happens. What happens when God gets messages into his ears about the stress of his kids? This is what happens. The earth trembled and quaked, and the foundations of the mountain shook. They trembled. Why? Because he was angry. God was angry. God got angry. This isn't like the pleasant little Jesus in a basket. And this isn't the nice little Jesus that healed the sick and rebuked the Pharisees. This is an angry God. This is an angry father ready to come, who was sympathizing with the affliction of his children. And he was ready to step in. He was so angry the earth shook. He was so angry the mountains trembled. He was so angry at the enemies of his child, of the king of his nation. Smoke rose from his nostrils. He was so angry. Smoke was coming out of his nose. Like, really? Really? Consuming fire was in his mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it. He was so angry when he opened his mouth in the heavens that it was full of fire, that it was full of coals of fire ready to be poured out on the enemies of David. Mm. He had himself, his anger was made manifest in fire, ready to be poured out on his enemies. Then what happened? He parted the heavens and came down. He didn't send the archangels to do his job. He didn't send the angel armies to do his job. He came himself. God himself parted the heavens. He said, this one's mine. I'm coming down. I'm coming down to take action right now because I'm so angry. I'm so angry and I'm so hurt at the affliction of my son. He mounted the cherubim and flew. It's like, you know, you'd ever see Avatar where they jump on the dragons and they take the reins of the dragon and they fly through the sky. And I had this vision of Jesus like mounting the cherubim and he's like, come on, mate, let's go. And he like whipped this thing's butt and it was like off he went down through the skies from the heavens to the earth. But his mouth was full of fire and full of burning coals. And it said he soared on the wings of the wind. You just see him like coming down and soaring like he was like on a mission. But he was using the winds to come down through. He made darkness his covering, his canopy around him. This word canopy is the same word as the sukkah, like the temple, the tabernacle. And it's like he came out of his temple and he made darkness his tabernacle. He hid himself in a new tabernacle, which was darkness. On the dark rains of the clouds, the dark rain clouds of the sky, out of the brightness of his presence, the clouds advanced, right? With hailstones and bolts of lightning. His energy, the way he was feeling, actually propelled the clouds that he was on on the cherubim. So his passion right there to deliver was moving the atmosphere so strongly that it pushed the clouds forward to where he was going. He directed them. He shifted the atmospheres because he was on a mission. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. Oh my gosh. When the earth begins to tremble, people run. When the mountains begin to tremble, they evacuate places. When God comes again, what is it going to be like? When the return of Jesus comes and he comes on the clouds again, are we going to recognize him? Are we going to run away like the enemies of David? Are we going to say, God, I'm waiting for my deliverance because I trust you in these deep waters?
Yeah.
Trust you in these deep waters. He shot his arrows and scattered the enemy. So you notice that he didn't take the enemy out. He scattered them. He scattered them. He broke up their ranks. He broke up their ranks. With great bolts of lightning, he routed them. The valleys of the sea were exposed. The foundations of the earth laid bare. Earthquakes happened at that moment. At your rebuke, Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils, he came down with burning coals. You know, when people are the enemies of God and they continue in their sin, they refuse to repent and turn to the Lord, they become fuel for the fire of God. They themselves become the coals that God will burn, but it's not to fire them with power. It's to remove them. That's all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. If he's coming with coals of fire in his mouth, he's looking to burn something up. We want to see this harvest come. We want to see the less people burned, the better.
Yeah, come on.
And then what did he do? Once he kind of scattered the enemies and he brought the waters out of the earth, he turned around and David says, he reached down from on high and he took hold of me and he drew me out of deep waters. He drew me out of deep waters. God didn't need to even touch down. He just lifted him right out, took him up. He lifted him out of the situation and he took him up. He let David see from the higher places. He took him up onto the cherubim with him and he began to ride on the wings again and he began to let David see where the armies were. So he gave David the heavenly perspective of where the armies were hiding, of where they were scattered, so that he could attack them from a different perspective, so that he could attack them from a different place, a place of victory, a place of being above and not beneath, a place of being on top and not being crushed underneath. He lifted him out of deep waters. You know, reminded me of Moses, when Moses was taken out of the waters and taken to Egypt to train up in a foreign land that was the enemy. He was trained and equipped and skilled in that place. Yeah. So I just kind of thought that he drew him out of deep waters. He drew Moses out of waters and equipped him to take the people through the waters.
Yeah.
So I felt like God drew David out of these waters to take him up, to let him see a perspective so he could deliver his people through the waters of the enemy.
Good word.
They confronted me. He rescued me from the powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster. But the Lord was my support. But the Lord was my support. He rescued me. Why? Because he delighted in me.
Mm.
He knew that he had the pleasure of God. He knew who God was, his rock, his fortress, his shield, his deliverer, his stronghold, his salvation, his strength. And he knew that he had walked in the ways of God. They had like this good relationship. So he had every confidence that God would be his deliverance, because God, he knew as a deliverer. Mm. So he knew God was going to pick him up, and God took him up, showed him the things from the heavenly perspective.
Amen.
The Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. He has rewarded me. He knew he was right before the Lord. He had personal preparation with God. And in these days, we need that personal preparation with the Lord in the quiet place with God. Verse 21 says, I have kept the ways of the Lord. I am not guilty of turning from my God. All his laws are before me. I have not turned away from his decrees. I have been blameless before him and have kept myself from sin. He made good choices. He made good choices. I have been blameless before him. So many people sin and blame everybody else. Oh, you made me angry, so that's why I was angry. You did this to me, therefore I'm like upset and offended. Mm-mm-mm. You're responsible for your own character. You're responsible for your own attitudes. You're responsible for your own decisions and your own choices that you make. Other people do not define you. You define you. God in you defines you. Yeah? To the faithful, you show yourself faithful. To the blameless, you show yourself blameless. To the pure, you show yourself pure. But to the devious, you show yourself shrewd. You save the humble, but bring low those whose eyes are haughty. You, Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light, and with your help I can advance against a troop. With my God I can scale a wall. So God took him out of the waters, yeah? And he took him up with him. He lifted him up, chucked him on the cherub, and he flew with him through the heavenlies. And he let him see. He showed him the strategy that he wanted him to take. He showed him where the enemy was camping. He showed him where the enemy was hiding so that he could allocate his troops to the right place to take the enemy down. Come on.
Strategy.
He had the victory because he saw from a different perspective. If we only look around us from the perspective of the earth, we will not conquer the enemy. We have to let God take us higher in our times of distress, in our times of brokenness. We must let him take us higher so that we can see where the enemy is active, so that we can then come and dispel and break down the enemy walls.
Yeah.
It says here, with your help, I can advance against a troop. The troop is not the problem. It's our help. It's where our help comes from is the issue. With your help, I can scale a wall. It's not the wall that's the issue. It's our place with God that's the issue. Yeah. If we're in the right place with Jesus, if we're in the right place with the Holy Spirit, we can scale a wall. We can go through any wall and we can take down any troop. Any situation in your life that you're facing right now that seems impossible, if you are focused with the Lord, if you let him take you up out of those miry waters, he will show you where the enemy is seated, and you will be able to come back and allocate your troops to take down that wall and eradicate that troop of enemies against you. Yeah? Amen. Amen. That is a good word right there.
That is a good word.
Verse 30, as for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He causes me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You make your saving help my shield, and your right hand sustains me. Your help has made me great. You provide a broad path for my feet so that my ankles do not give way.
Come on, Jesus.
So at this point, I'm going to ask, I think, who was doing 30 and 31? Was it Val?
No, Mary.
Mary?
No, it's me, Mary.
Okay, Mary, do you want to come and...
Yeah, you want me to be in?
That's Mary there.
I know.
Me. Or me, okay.
Yeah, there you go, away you go.
Okay, verse 30. As for God, his way is perfect.
Mm.
So the other way of translating perfect, as Sharon said, was flawless in her version, without spot or blemish, upright, entire, whole or sound. God's way is perfect. And the word of the Lord is proven. When we say word of the Lord, we often think of this. And in the Greek, it's the word is logos, but in the Hebrew Bible there's various words for word, but the word here it says is Imrit Yahweh, and that is the word Emma, which is the same word in Genesis 1 verse 3, and God said. So this is the Bible, this is the word of God, but in sense this is only the little brother of the ultimate word of God.
Yeah.
John 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. Jesus Christ is the Emma, the word that God spoke at creation. So Jesus Christ is in this from the very first page until the very last page. This is the autobiography of the ultimate word of God.
Come on.
Jesus has ascended into heaven, but we carry his story with us. We carry the Bible. So the word of the Lord is proven. It's refined. It also means to melt, or a goldsmith. It's pure. It's founded and smelted. So this Bible is a testimony. It's been refined. There's no impurities in it.
Come on.
As it's worked out, all the flaws, you know, when a smith works at the ore, he's hammering out the imperfections and the impurities. This There are no impurities. This it is. His way is perfect.
Amen.
And the word of the Lord is proven.
Amen.
This is pure gold.
Yes.
And Jesus is pure gold. We can trust it because it is perfect and proven. So he is a shield to all who trust him. Ephesians 6 verse 16, the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flames of the evil one. We can trust this to defend us. So, for who is God except the Lord, and who is a rock except our God? God is our refuge, our foundation, our firm and secure footing. So, we have to rest it on something. What he tells us in here is a firm foundation. Moses in Deuteronomy 32 talks, God talks about being a rock, and the rock there is like a cliff. And it made me think of Psalm 62 verse 2, take me to the rock that is higher than I.
Mm.
You have to ascend. You have to go higher and climb into God's presence. And as I was looking up rock, I kept finding these links to Moses and the rock, because God also hid Moses in the cleft of the rock. So if you go high to the secret place, you will also catch glimpses of God, just as he did. You have to go high. The other reference to Moses and the rock is when Moses hit the rock and the water gushed out. And so the way my mind works, I thought, is there any water hidden in this passage that Sharon had given me? And I looked. And I did. I found some hidden water.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the word in Hebrew for water is mine. And it's found in the very first sentence of verse 30. His way is perfect. The word perfect in Hebrew here is tamen. So it's got the word mine. And at the front of the word is the letter tav, tamen. And in the old Hebrew, the Proto-Hebraic Hebrew, the letter Tav was written as a cross.
Wow.
So, this is what I wrote. The pure and perfect Lamb of God, spotless and without blemish, the Rock of Ages, hung from a tree. He was struck by a stick, pierced by a spear, and water poured forth. You have to climb. He is the way. He is our example. Get to know him through his story.
Yeah.
Trust it. Trust him. It will give you protection and safety. The more you study this, the more you will become like him.
Yes.
The more you will be refined.
Yes.
And made pure.
Perfect.
That's my thoughts.
Awesome.
Amen, Mary.
Thank you. Awesome. Brilliant word. Thank you. Awesome. Valerie.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, the God who equipped me with strength and made my way blameless, he made my feet like the feet of a deer and set me secure on the heights.
Mm.
David saying here that God equipped him with strength. Strength to fight, strength to get through his battles, strength to persevere. But as I read that verse, it reminded me of a passage in Ephesians that God had spoken to me about just a wee while ago. That's in Ephesians 3, verses 16 to 19. And that says that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I mean, that to me is such a powerful passage, and I love it. And God brought it to my attention again, and when I read it, all the familiarity I'd had with it just got knocked away, because I suddenly realized, why do I need to be strengthened so that Christ may dwell in me?
Mm.
Why do I need to be strengthened to comprehend and to know his love?
Mm.
Why do I need to be strengthened to know his love? And I was reminded of a testimony of a man from back in the 1800s, D.L. Moody. He had this testimony where he said he had a hunger and a thirst to know more of God and to be filled with his spirit. And he said, well, one day in the city of New York, oh, what a day. I cannot describe it. I seldom refer to it. It's almost too sacred an experience to name. Paul had an experience of which he never spoke for 14 years. I can only say that God revealed himself to me, and I had such an experience of his love that I had to ask him to stay his hand. I went to preaching again. The sermons were not different. I did not present any new truths, yet hundreds were converted. I would not now be placed back where I was before that blessed experience. If you should give me all the world, it would be as the small dust of the balance.
Come on.
He said, I had an experience of his love that I had to ask him to stay his hand. Mm-hmm. It was so overwhelming, so powerful, this experience of God's love, that D.L. Moody had to ask God to stop. Mm-hmm. I know I have had experiences of God's love where I have been left in a puddle of tears with soggy mm-hmm. tissues all around me. Mm-hmm. But I've never had an experience yet where I've had to ask God to stop because I can't take any more. Mm. Not yet. But I believe that that is there for us.
Yeah.
We need to be strengthened to know his love. Because before ever God strengthens us to serve him or to fight, he strengthens us to know him.
Come on.
I mean, he's the all-powerful, almighty yeah. creator God. We need to be strengthened yeah. to know him. And we need to be strengthened to know his love
yeah, Jesus.
Because it's his love that transforms us. And David's testimony here in these verses that God strengthened him, that's an encouragement to us, a promise to us that God will strengthen us too. And then David goes on that he made my way blameless.
Yeah.
That word blameless there is exactly the same word that that David uses in verse 30 that Mary's already talked about, that God made, you know, God's way is perfect. And David is saying that God made his way blameless or perfect. It's a word, tamim. And where I looked it up, this word can also mean or be translated as complete, whole, entire, sound, innocent, having integrity. I mean, that describes who God is. But David is saying that this God who is like this, he makes my way like this.
Come on.
So the God whose ways are tamim transforms us by his love and fills us with his fullness so that our ways can be tamim too. I mean, how amazing is that?
So amazing.
I mean, yeah.
Wow.
He goes on, he made my feet like the feet of a deer and set me secure on the heights. And when I read that, it reminded me of Song of Solomon in chapter 2, verse 8 and the beginning of verse 9, the bride is describing her beloved. She says, behold, he comes, leaping over the mountains, bounding over the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or like a young stag.
Mm.
And the word used there is similar to this word that he makes our feet like the feet of a deer. One is a masculine, one's a feminine. It's like God gives us feet that enable us to run with our bridegroom, bounding over obstacles. Mountains are like a symbol of of problems and obstacles that come up against us, things that come into our path. But God gives us feet to run with Jesus so that we can bound over these obstacles and securely negotiate the problems that come in our path. The New Living Translation says that he set me secure on my heights, enabling me to stand on mountainous heights. You know, he enables us to run with him, to get over all these problems. And like Sharon was saying just now, that we can stand on the heights to get that view of what's going on so that we can deal with these problems.
Yeah, amen.
And that's who he is for us. That's what he wants to do for us.
Awesome word.
Awesome, that's good.
Awesome,
pal.
Awesome word. Awesome word. And the last one to share on this particular passage is Angie. Angie.
Oh. Hello, Bob.
Hello, Bob. There you go. Do you want to unmute there, Angie?
Okay.
Yeah. That's you. Yeah. There
okay.
you go.
Good.
No?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So I was looking at verse 34 and 35. And I looked at it in the Passion Translation, as well as various others. And it says in 34, "You've trained me with the weapons of warfare worship. Mm-hmm. Now I'll descend into battle with power to chase and conquer my foes." That's verse 34. And 35, "You empower me for victory with your wraparound presence.
Yeah.
Your power within makes me strong to subdue. And by stooping down in gentleness, you strengthened me and made me great."
Yeah.
And I looked at those two verses and then I read the whole psalm. And many of the kind of thoughts that people have expressed up to now, I've kind of thought, yeah. Yeah. Apparently this psalm is in, or this poem is in the Bible twice. It's also in 2 Samuel 22, where David is just celebrating the victory over Saul. And I thought that it must be quite important to be, written down twice.
Mm-hmm.
So in verse 34, there were two thoughts that came to me. One was about this concept of warfare worship. And then the other one was about authority. So with the warfare worship, the verse talks about training. And training implies that sometimes it's hard and it's personal. You know, if we're being trained, like with a personal trainer, not that I've ever had one, but it's focused and it's not necessarily easy and you have to work at it. And I was thinking about it and the times where I've spent time in the quiet place and when life has been hard, and I knew the only place, the only solution was going to be found in God and in God's presence. And if you're feeling overwhelmed with sorrow or pain or fear, it's sometimes hard to bring yourself to that place of wanting to come and to worship and to lay aside all that strong emotion or all those strong, difficult questions and come before the Lord in his presence. And I think the process of bringing ourselves to that point is part of the training. And thinking about it, we can use music and scripture and prayer to enter into the Holy of Holies and stay a while in God's presence and just be there and just see what he would say. And then see how the Holy Spirit would lead us in prayer or in song. And I know when my prayers or when my singing in that private place is hitting the mark, as it were, because you can just tell when it's connecting. And I've been amazed sometimes at the prayers that have sort of come out of my mouth for situations. So, it's a good place to be. And I need to practice it more and more. And I think David was trained from a boy to fight real physical battles as well as spiritual battles, and he knew what it was to dwell closely with his God. Mm-hmm. And for all the fighting and all the battles and all the blood and gore that this man must have seen, he wanted to be known and remembered as a worshipper of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He knew what it was to dwell closely with God.
Mm-hmm.
And from the heights of God's presence, he could come down and fight battles, physical battles and battles of the soul.
Yes.
And it says in the verse, "Now I'll descend into battle with power."
Mm-hmm.
And I had this image of just running down the hill, maybe David with his army, with swords in hand, running down the hill to the enemy caught out below. And if you're going to descend, then you must have been up high. And again, as people have already mentioned, it's about being in the high places with the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And from there, we can descend and we can fight the battles.
Yeah, good word.
And I know in times past, in different situations, different sort of churches I've been in, people have questioned, well, why worship? It's just, you know, singing songs, but it's not just singing songs. And if we think, well, why worship? It reminds Satan that he's defeated.
Yes.
And also it reminds us of how mighty God is.
Yes.
And from that place we can see the world differently, see it from God's perspective, as people have mentioned already.
Brilliant.
And then verse 35, the thing about authority came to me. So kind of mulling over verse 35, when I was teaching, I taught science in secondary school. And year sevens, the first years in school, give them a science practical, and it's all very exciting. Bunsen burners and chemicals and things and the potential for great harm. So there were occasions when I could be teaching and there was practical going on, there was, you know, activity going on, and it certainly wasn't quiet. And the door, quite often in the room I was teaching in, I taught in various rooms, but there was one room where the door was behind me. And I could be facing the class and watching and looking, and suddenly just became aware that there was a hush that descended over the room. And kind of, oh, okay, what's going on? And I'd carry on teaching or talking or whatever I was doing at the time. And then turn around and realise that the deputy head had come in behind, and she was just stood there. And it just this image came to me about that's how the Lord is with us,
mm-hmm.
and how we can be with the Lord, that we can stand in his authority.
Yeah.
Because she was in the room, the kids were a little more kind of like, okay, got to be, you know, doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And so I was sort of standing in the good of her authority. And then there were other times when I would walk into a class and it would just go quiet. So there was something in me as well of authority. I might not have been the deputy head, but nevertheless, I did still have some authority.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought this verse kind of illustrates both of those things for us. I need to understand more of the authority that God has, so that when I come to him, I've got a more and more correct revelation of just how mighty and powerful he is. Because sometimes, I think, you know, Sharon mentioned a bit earlier, sometimes we can think of Jesus and it's the Jesus in the manger or the Jesus feeding the 5,000. And all of that is true. But we can't carry and get into our heads the concept of just how mighty God is. Jesus is the one who spoke everything into being and holds everything together. And I just want an increasing revelation of the authority that Jesus has, and to know that I stand in the good of that. Because I am naturally a very anxious person. I'm not somebody who will just, you know, bluff their way through something. But I know with God I'm different, and there's a strength.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Come on.
And not only is, like, you know, like the deputy head was kind of behind me, and I was standing in the good of that, but also we carry Jesus inside us. So, yeah, we can walk into situations and have authority in those situations. And then it goes on to say, you empower me for victory with your wraparound presence. And that wraparound presence is like a shield. David's spoken about God as being a shield, and it's that wraparound presence around us. And your power within me makes me strong to subdue. And by stooping down in gentleness, you strengthen me and made me great. And I just love the idea of God stooping down in gentleness to make us great. And it just seemed that he doesn't ever deal harshly with us. So although he might be training us, it's not like a harsh sergeant major. He's doing it in gentleness. He knows what we need, what we can take. He knows where we are. He knows we're made of dust. And he stoops down with all his gentleness to deal kindly with us. And those were my thoughts.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much. I just loving the
Thanks,
way
Andy.
The Holy Spirit is just flowing among us right now. Just absolutely loving it. Just how the Spirit of God just brings everything together of what people are sensing and have been reading and what God's been saying. I just feel such a lovely flow of the Holy Spirit right now. Thank you guys. That was amazing.
Awesome job.
You got like a preach right there on your own on those verses that you've done.
Yeah.
So maybe someday we'll get you on to do that. Andy said it may only be 60 seconds. Andy, that was a brilliant word. Thank
that was
you.
Amazing.
Thank
well
you.
Done.
Absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
The next part of this, Sam, just going to read it through. You armed me with strength for battle and you humbled my adversaries before me. Verse 40. You made my enemies turn their backs in flight and I destroyed my foes. He was actually chasing them down rather than them chasing him and putting him in the place of death. They cried for help, but there was no one to save them. The Lord did not answer. I beat them as fine as wind-blown dust and I trampled them like mud in the streets. Yeah, he conquered his enemies, like, well and truly. Like, he made them like dust, chased them down, and absolutely eradicated everything that stood in his way. And I just feel like that's what the Lord is calling us to do in these days. The things that the enemy would raise against us, the situations that he would try to raise against us, the lies that he would try to place in us, that we're alone, that we're isolated, that we cannot cope right now, that economy is going to crash, which it is crashing, but it's the fear of what is going to happen, the fear, the spirit of fear comes against you like a wall, and it's a massive thing. And yet the Lord says here, and you keep your eyes focused on me, I'm going to take you up into those heavenly places and I will show you where the enemy dwells. I will show you where he's running to so that you can pursue him, overtake him and take him down. In these days. And then he declares, you have delivered me from the attacks of the people. You have made me the head of nations. God has taken him from being in the place of defeat to the top, to the head, not the tail, but the head of nations. the head of nations. He prospered him in everything that he did. People I did not know now serve me. Foreigners cower before me. As soon as they hear of me, they obey me. They lose heart. They come trembling from their strongholds. When people begin to see the power of God moving in the lives of the bride, they will be drawn to her. They will have two reactions. They will either come to her or they will run from her. The enemies of David ran from him, but his armies gathered around him. The Lord lives. This is his declaration again at the end. He goes right back to the beginning. The Lord lives. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be God, my Saviour. He is the God who avenges me, who subdues nations under me, who saves me from my enemies. You exalted me above my foes. From a violent man you rescued me. Therefore, because you have delivered me, because you are my rock, because you are my shield, because you are my defender, because you are my king, I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing the praises of your name. He gives his great king great victories and shows unfailing love to his anointed, to David and to his descendants. How do we advance? What are the skills and the steps for our advancement? David was naturally gifted poetically and song. He loved it. It flowed from him. He was a worshipper. That's where he flowed. That's where his happy place was, in the place of poetry and song. Not in war, but God gave him his skill and understanding of military affairs. He wasn't bred or designed for military affairs. He was bred and designed as a shepherd. When we see him here, he's come a long way from being a shepherd boy to being the ruler of nations, to being the head of nations. And that's what God promises. Number one, he was trained. Verse 34 says, David was trained for battle. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. When I was dictating this into my iPad, it says a bowl of bronze. I had to go bang and oh, I know what that was saying.
Correction.
So he could bend a bow of bronze. It was like things that were impossible were made possible because of the supernatural ability that he received in God. God trained him in the things of war. He gave him strength. God gave him bodily strength to endure the fatigue of war. The fatigue of war. I actually wrote up here, where is it? God will not only deliver his people out of their troubles in due time, but he will sustain them and bear them up under their troubles in the meantime. In the meantime, he will keep you and sustain you. So God gave David bodily strength to endure the fatigue of war. Verse 32, to break a bow of bronze requires supernatural equipping for the task. Whatever God has put before you on your journey, he will equip you for, as long as your eyes are focused, you call to him in your distress, and you ask him for help. And you remember who he is and who you are with him, and keep your walk clear with him. He will fit you for what he's designed you for. He equipped David with speed. Verse 33, he makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He causes me to stand on the heights. Have you ever seen a deer run? Man, they're fast. They're so fast. And it's like right after that, it's like battle. You know, I'm coming in for battle. And it's like God is saying, he's made you for speed. He's made you to endure. He's made you with strength to keep going. He was sure-footed, like a deer is sure-footed. We need to be sure-footed. We need to know our foundation is good in God. We need to keep going back to that foundation of the cross, but ascending to the place of the heavenlies for our strategy. Verse 29, he gave David boldness. With your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. He had supernatural strength and boldness. There's not many people would say, hey, I can take out a whole troop and I can scale a wall. That's who he was, this boldness that he carried in the Lord, because he knew who he was and he knew who God was in him. Next one, protected. Verse 32 says he was secure. Verse 35, saving help as a shield. He was protected. Verse 43 says, you have delivered me and you have made me the head of nations. He has prospered him. He has delivered him from attack and he has prospered him. Next one, he was victorious in every situation that God was in with David. He was victorious. He never failed. Mm-mm-mm. He never didn't win. He was always on the victory side when he cried to the Lord, when he walked with God, when God was in the battle. The victory was always, always secure. He won over the Philistines, the Moabites, the Amorites. He won over the people that came against Israel. He won battles over people that came against him as king. He won those battles because he was steadfast in God. When people stand against God and God's people, he removes the hand of protection from them and leaves them vulnerable to judgment and defeat. And that's the truth. And people today that are pushing God away, it leaves them vulnerable and open to defeat. And we know that when we're not walking with the Lord, how open we are to defeat. Defeat in here. The lies start to come in. That then start to affect our heart. Start to make us sick. That make us despondent and steal our hope. So the lessons that David learned in the battlefield of affliction prepared him for dignity and power and integrity that God intended for him in the battle. So, what are the battlefields that we're fighting right now? What are the battlefields that you're fighting right now? What are the cords of entanglement that the enemy is trying to wrap around your life? I want to be like David. Yeah, I want to be trained for battle. I want to have the strength for this journey that we're on right now, for what is here and what is coming. For the Bible tells me that the judgments of the Lord are coming and we need to be ready. We need to be our eyes focused on him in those moments when we don't understand and we can't see the way forward. When the Bible says that a loaf of bread or a shekel of flour is going to be like a year's wages, what are we going to do, church? What are we going to do? Are we going to cry to each other? Are we going to say, God, you're my deliverer. You're my shield. You're my wraparound God. You're my provider. I want to be one God that has provision for me and for others. I want to be one that sees our food multiply so that we can bless others. And we only get that when we stay in that place with God and reminded of who he is in us. I want to be speedy. I want to be quick to respond to him in everything that he asks me to do. So when he speaks, I want to be ready for him. I want to be bold. I want to know who I am in God, that I can scale a wall and stand against the darkness in his strength. I want to know that I'm protected, that I'm guarded, that I'm shielded, that God is wrapped around me. Like Angie was saying, you know, when the deputy head, my mum's deputy head, that's who she was. You can imagine what our house was like. But when the deputy head walks into the room, you take notice. You take notice.
Yeah.
When we invite the Holy Spirit into the room, we take notice. We have to take notice when God walks in. We have to be ready. God prospered David. I believe in these days when the world is falling apart, God wants to prosper his people. He wants to make our path straight. He wants to take us deeper into his presence so that we can fight. He wants to take us into those heavenly places so that we can fight from that perspective and see where the enemy lies so that we can strategize for the kingdom. I want to be victorious. I want to be a victory person. I want to have the testimonies of Jesus on my life. I want to be able to say, do you know what, guys? You might not believe in Jesus, but let me tell you what he did for me today. Let me tell you what he did for me yesterday. Let me tell you what it's like to be overwhelmed by the presence of something supernaturally amazing. I want to tell you what it's like to be so undone by God that you can't get off the floor. I remember in Kansas City, I had two women pray for me. One was Therese Engel, and the other was one of the heads of intercession. And they came, and they were saying about receiving a baptism of fire. And I thought I had a baptism of fire. But I went out into the... It said, step into the aisle if that's for you. And I stepped in and these two women came to pray for me. Well, I was on the floor. There was a puddle of water around me. I sweated. I lost so much liquid out of my body. It was... I don't know where it came from. But I was saying to them, please stop. Please stop. I'm burning. Please stop. Please stop. I'm burning. And I've never forgotten that experience when the fire of God came upon me in such a way that I couldn't get off the floor. And I couldn't stop the burning of God.
Mm.
And I wanted it to stop, and I didn't want it to stop. I was like, Lord, don't ever let me leave this place, but this hurts me. This fire that you have me in right now, it's too much for my physical body. And I could feel God strengthening me, like Val was saying, he was strengthening me to carry his fire, to carry his presence. I want to be one that's seated with him.
Yeah,
I want to be one that where he lifts me up on the cherubim with him, and I get to see that the where the enemy is active, so that we can come as an army and we can take down the kingdom of darkness that is already defeated and disarmed, and that we can bring the kingdom of God and his light and his lightning and everything that he is, that power of Christ, the power of the blood of Jesus, into our communities, into our nation and the nations of the world. That's what I want to see. I want to be that David that says, I love you, God. I love you, Lord, my strength. My God, my rock, my deliverer, my shield, my fortress. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and he saved me from all my enemies. So, Lord, I declare over you today, declare over you, each one of you watching today, whether you're on Zoom or whether you're on live, I declare over you today that you would be one that would have your eyes fixed, that your eyes would be gazed upward, that you would be one in your distress that would cry to the Lord, and that your cry would go to his ears, and that his ears would be pricked towards you, and that he would part the heavens, and that he would come down for you. I declare life over your situations that seem in despair right now. I declare a breakthrough for those that are battling situations that feel like they're facing a brick wall and they can't see any way out. We just say, God, come. Come, Holy Spirit.
Yes,
we declare those walls to fall. We declare those lies to be broken. We declare those troops to be overcome right now in the name of Jesus. Whatever situation you're facing, whatever cords are wrapping around you, we declare them broken in the name of Jesus. Broken in the name of Jesus, and we speak the blood of Christ and the power of Christ, the power of the risen Savior, that revelation Jesus, that man with burning eyes, that man with bronze legs, that man with the coals of fire in his mouth. We declare his name over your situation right now, that you would be one that would run with boldness, that you would be one that would prosper in his presence, that you would be one that runs with speed and agility because you're sure-footed and you know where your foundation is. We declare to you today that you would be protected by the presence of God, that wraparound God, and that you would have the strength to endure this battle, that you would not be fatigued, but you would be strengthened in the Lord and in the power of his might today, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus.
There's sometimes, you know, in life, when you actually get in a situation where you feel that you've been walled in, hemmed in, that the enemy's trampling and trotting all over you, and you've got pain in your heart because you just don't know where to turn. And yet the Bible clearly directs us, you need to turn your gaze onto the Father. And there's something inside your spirit, there's something that will change and shift when you start gazing on the Father and just focusing on him in the midst of the storm. There's something that shifts in your spirit, and you begin to release from you a roar of the Spirit of God that's within you, and you need to roar and let it out. He trains our hands for war. You need to position yourself for training. You don't get trained just like that. It doesn't happen just like that. You need to position and be intentional in being before your God and training yourself in his ways. He trains your hands for war. You don't strengthen your arm to hold and wield a sword. Some of the battles in the Bible, they said that the actual sword was striking each other for a full day. What must your arm have felt like when you were battling to such an extent that you would have had to have been like Arnold Schwarzenegger, and even he would have got tired, I think, with the bashing and clanging of swords on an all-day-long battle. But the Lord says he trains us, he prepares us. All we got to do is position ourselves. So from the place of feeling trapped and that roar that rises from you, you take up your sword and you begin to do battle. And then that's where the Isaiah 40 says it. He will raise you up with wings on eagles, and your strength will rise, because it's like David. He took him up to a higher place to see what was really happening below. So you need to start to roar and then go for the soar, because God's on the move and he is going to change your circumstances. And we declare it over you today that you are a warrior of the King, that you are blood-bought, that you have power within you, and that you have a roar that releases, that will shake the very supernatural realms of heaven and cause heaven to take notice. And then the Father comes and visits, and he causes you to soar. He takes you out of your circumstance. He takes you to a height that you cannot be touched, and you see things from his perspective. So I bless you with that today in Jesus' name.
You know, when we begin to walk with the Holy Spirit, when we begin to get to know him, when we can be in his presence and feel his love, hear his voice, it will transform you.
Yeah.
It will transform you from the very core of your being to know him, to know who he is for you. Whatever situation you're in, there's a revival coming. There's a harvest that's coming to this earth. Got a hair. There's a harvest that's coming to this earth, and it's going to be all hands on deck. All hands on deck for discipling and training and equipping to manage this harvest of the earth. And we need to be ready, people. Mm-hmm. We need to know who our God is. We need to know this Lord, my rock, my fortress, my shield, my stronghold, my deliverer. I call to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and he saved me from my enemies.
Yeah.
We are trained for success in the presence of the Lord. No man can train us the way he trains us. We are spirit beings being trained by the Spirit of God for this great harvest that's coming on the earth.
Yeah.
So we bless you today.
When you actually are intentional about seeking the Father, it says, if you seek, you will find.
Yeah.
And so there's something about the Father that lures us in to a place of connection, a place of relationship with him, that he knows will change you. He knows that he will captivate your heart.
Mm.
But he wants you to pursue him and to seek his face first. And then all the things of the kingdom will follow after that. So he's calling you. So the last thing I want is to waken up when Jesus returns and actually think, oh my goodness, I missed the best years of my life.
Mm.
You want to be intentional about finding out who you are in your God and allow him to direct your pathways, allow him to lead you. You're not just here for 70, 80 years and then poof, you're gone. He has been intending such an impact for your life, such a purpose for your life way before you were even born. And he's crying out today, so come find me. Come find me in your wilderness. Come find me in your quiet place. And allow me to actually impart to you what it is that you will need for this next season. In Ephesians, it says there, awake, awake, sleeper. We don't want to be the ones sleeping, because sleepers miss what's happening in the action plan of God. I want to be in the thick of the action plan with God, carrying my sword and actually running with him and seeing where he's leading in this next season, because it's going to be awesome. It's going to be powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Don't miss it, folks. Don't wake up someday and say, I wish. Always live intentionally each day as if it's your last, and have him as your focus every day.
Yeah, just want to say a real big welcome to Enos from Kenya. It's good to have you on, brother.
Yay,
and
Enos.
And our people on from India and many different nations, we just welcome you today and just pray that you're really blessed with our message and what the Lord's been speaking. Just want to thank Mary and Val and Angie this morning for what you brought in the Lord. It was really powerful and it just flowed so beautifully. It's good to flow together in the Holy Spirit. So We just bless you guys and just say, Lord, just let your favor rest upon us today, your goodness, let your countenance rise, your face shine upon us, Lord, your kindness. Thank you for all that you are to us and all that you have done and all that you will do. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. A good God. Yeah. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Right, so we're going off Facebook now. Amen. So.